Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you're a veteran, welcome back. We have Randy Saxton with us today. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Gabor. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Randy's in California right now in a studio, and I'm here in Arizona. So
we're sending a little moisture your way, I think.
Yeah, you know, yesterday, actually, we had a little bit in the afternoon. At least the clouds moved in, and we had a little sprinkle. So that's good to see. Brush up on brushes. That's the title. And Randy has these clever titles, and sometimes when people look at it, they click it and listen, like, oh, that's what he meant.
Well, the topic kind of leaped out to me as I'm gearing up to go down to Carmel and paint in the Carmel Art Festival this coming week, which I haven't done in years and years and years. But I think during COVID, after coming out of COVID, a lot of the festivals and invitationals are celebrating like their 25th or 30th anniversary of being in existence. And I'm doing a bunch of them this year, which I have not done in a long time. And so I'm getting prepped for that. And I just put all my brushes into my little case. And, it's on my mind. So, and I get a lot of questions about, what kind of brushes do you use? And, it's funny, as time goes on, I mean, I do teach, but we're never, the learning never stops. And we're always, I think, exploring new ways to do things or stumbling on new ways to do things. If that's, that's a way to put it, in that sometimes you, like for instance, myself, I didn't use fan brushes for years because of the sort of the Bob Ross
stigma
of sorts, but they are super fun to use. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that I started using them was working with more abstract work and then realized like, wow, these are really move some paint around. So, so you leave yourself open and, real quickly, just a very brief breakdown, I think, of a way to simplify for yourself the various ways that different shapes and so on kind of work and or different types of brushes. And for myself, I like starting off with the bristle brushes, the natural hair bristle brushes as an oil painter. I've heard this expression used before. They're kind of like your workhorses. They have a lot of spring and they push the paint around into the tooth of the canvas pretty nicely. So you can scrub with them. I have to say I'm not the easiest on my brushes. I kind of abuse them. meaning I do a lot of scrubbing and so on in the very beginning. And so I use the bristle brushes, most of the block and massing in, and then I may switch to softer brushes, the natural hair or the synthetic blend brushes to work back into a painting. I describe the softer brushes as having a lot of clear response. They're very responsive brushes. Like everything you do shows up. And they are softer, so they kind of lay the paint down. It's a different feel to it. So there's the difference there between the sort of the bristle brushes and the softer hair brushes. In general, longer handled brushes are designed that way so that you hold the brush back from the ferrule, from up close to the
Soroya had like these really long. You look at it, right? Super long.
And some people add extensions onto, they'll sort of exactly. So Roy had those really long brushes. I think they still make them. I've seen other contemporary art.
Yeah.
You have not ventured into that. And then the short handle brushes, just real briefly kind of covering a few bases on brush types. Short handle brushes are made that way. So you really get up to, on top of almost the work to get into some detail, to carve out, basically that, get into more nuance and detail with those smaller brushes. And though I did not use any shorter handled brushes until a few years ago. I just inherited some brushes from a friend that had passed away, and found that I really enjoy using those for portraiture and so for still life subject matter that I might want to try to get into more detail with. So you know, few ways to go there. I do like people ask me what type, I mean, what brand of brushes you are. I tell you, I don't, you know, I am kind of rough on the brushes. So I shy away from the really expensive brushes, but I have been using a lot of rosemary brushes lately.
And
I think they really hold up, and surprisingly hold up. There's some lines of Bravura, like the Bravura line. But I use a lot of Utrecht brushes. Mm-hmm. I used to say, like, the brushes that I buy are the ones that are on sale. Flippantly would say that just for, you know, because I wasn't really committed to working with any, all the brush lines are, there's, you know, they're all pretty good there. So,
mm-hmm.
But I do appreciate the rosemary brushes, and the round brushes I didn't use for a long time. What I really enjoy about those is that they don't have a direction necessarily,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of push the paint around, and it flows just like that. Just it doesn't have a particular direction, but they can be. Mm-hmm. Used to really get a type of brush, a mark that is more linear or calligraphic. Yeah. And then you get down to smaller brushes, you know, just really getting down to some detail, the liners, for any kind of the riggers for any kind of very thin telephone wires, things like that.
Yeah.
Really good.
I always, well, I shouldn't always, but I learned with those riggers or the really fine ones, the problem with those when you throw it into your box, if you don't have some kind of protector over them, they, you know, really, the bristle will go haywire and just be bent and not nice. So just, I like those tubes. You can cut a piece of tube, you know,
right.
from a hardware store and slip it over it, keep slipping over it when you're done.
And you can kind of shape them a little bit once you clean them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Across, you know, this move, I think I have mentioned in some of the other podcasts that I have a new studio space, and I forgot that I had this one product called Bristle Magic, which I have a feeling might be made by repurposed cooking oil. Not really clear on that because it does have this sort of greasy feel to it. But that stuff, really, really cleans the brushes quite well. I used it recently to clean up some brushes that I had just left around in you know, standing in turp,
mm-hmm.
and was negligent about cleaning them sooner than I, you know, before, mm-hmm. you know, early. So I used that and it really cleaned the brushes up. And then you can reshape them. I had some liners, for instance, like what okay. you're saying. You know, okay. I left the liners in some turp, and they were all bent, and that brought them around.
Right. Okay, that's good to know. Okay,
just a few general ways that you can think about brushes that I wanted to bring up.
And the better you get the more you paint, and just better you get, the more finer work you can do, even with the bigger brushes sometimes, right? It's just your touch becomes finer.
That is one of the things you will hear a lot, is use a as large of a brush for as long as possible.
It's just a skill that you work on, brush work. It's part of it. I mean, it's an important thing too, but not nearly as important as some other things. Just right, Randy, just make sure that student is, you know, they have their drawing down, you know, design drawing value, and kind of that order.
Sure.
Before they
or just start. Cool. A lot of, you know, there's people that don't even use the brushes. They'll use, you know, more palette knife work or what have you.
Yeah.
So there's ways to get the paint down. But personally, I enjoy a sense of movement from, you know, that you're, that the, there's a sense of movement in the painting that is the way that you're putting the paint down, the brushwork.
Yeah.
And that sort of gesture or directional way that you're moving the paint around, I think is, for me, is really important, is key.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I want to try to keep into my work.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, this was great. Thank you, Randy. I mean, it's just something to think about. It's, I know it's more of a nuts and bolts tool kind of thing, but experiment, as Randy just kind of suggested here. To, you know, he likes to experiment too. You don't have to stick with one type of brush or, as he said, sometimes what's on sale. Like pick up brushes that you might not use and see, is it going to work for me or not? Right? Nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
You might find some interesting mark making happening. So thank you, Randy. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Randy, if you want to learn more with Randy, he has a mentoring course with us. It's a 365-day online mentoring course. You're there with Randy virtually, of course, for a full year. Even if you have a busy schedule, you don't fall behind. There's no such thing as falling behind. There's nothing live in our courses, but Randy's there for you to help inside your private Facebook group. So it's just a great way of learning for a whole year. Workshops are great, but they're short, and you have questions throughout the year as you're painting, and this is just a great way of getting the continued support and knowledge, and also from the other students that are in there. You can look at their work and the comments that Randy makes upon their work. If you're extremely busy or just cannot, don't want to do the course, Randy does have a digital download series, video series. Those are start to finish videos, and you can purchase them, and you own those, and you can watch those anytime. So thank you again, Randy, and we will see you guys next time.
You're welcome. Happy painting, everyone.